Thank you, Dwayne, and thank all of you for being here this morning. And it is a very beautiful day outside. I know we're expecting a little rain a little bit later on, but today is a very beautiful, beautiful day. It's a beautiful day because God's family can come together and worship and honor and pay tribute to the God that fashioned us in His likeness and sustains us even now. Memorial Day is always a very special day. You know, through the years, I have had the opportunity, and perhaps maybe that's not the best word, but I've had the privilege of addressing families who lost their son or their daughter in war, and grandchildren as well, in this congregation. But we're so thankful that we can reflect upon our land and how wonderful it is to be an American. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. You and I live in the greatest land in all of the world, America. And it is the land that I love. You know, this morning we had the opportunity to remember a greater sacrifice. And that was the sacrifice of our Savior upon the cross. When Jesus came into the world, He did give His life for you and for me. And the answer to that question is, why did my Savior come to earth? Is the fact that He loved us so. And we have embraced this morning His teaching. For He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until He come. You know, Memorial Day actually used to be referred to as Remembrance Day. Just like we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to remember those who have gone before. In Paul's writings to the church at Rome, in Romans 13 and 7, he said, "Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes is due, custom to whom custom, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." Today, around our nation, no doubt, and tomorrow, our war dead will be honored. And we will reflect upon the life that they gave for our great country. Those who died prematurely, who went away to war and died on foreign fields and never had the opportunity to come back and to see their wife or their husband or their children or their parents. I hope that this Memorial Day we will remember with great fondness and love the ones who have gone before us and who have given so much. But what is Memorial Day anyway? Sometimes people get Memorial Day and Veterans Day confused. We celebrate Veterans Day on November the 11th, and today we celebrate what we call Memorial Day. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. You know, as Wayne pointed out a moment ago, we don't gather flippantly, but we gather for the purpose of honoring Christ. But we also think about our nation based upon what Christ actually taught. And Memorial Day is much, much more than just the start of summer. Now, I know that according to various authorities, the three-day weekend called Memorial Day has become known as the unofficial kickoff of the summer vacation. But you know, in reality, it should be much, much more than that. It should be much, much more than going down to the lake or perhaps going shopping or barbecuing or vacation getaways and things of that nature. It is a time for us to reflect upon the lives that have been given. It is more than the cause of a long weekend. It is a day of remembrance and reflection. You know, too often we talk about those who die in battle and die in war, but we say very little. We remember them once a year, but I think of their families, and especially the ones with whom I've been associated through the years, who have suffered the loss of children and grandchildren, and I grieve with them. You know, the flag is a symbol of our freedom. And that's really what these young men and women did. They died for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. I'm thankful today that I do not live in Ukraine or that I do not live in Russia. I'm thankful that I live in this greatest country in all of the world. And Memorial Day weekend is among the busiest, believe it or not, for travel in the United States of America. And as I said, it is the unofficial beginning of summer. But how did Memorial Day, held on that last Monday of May in honor of America's war dead, how did it really, really begin? Well, let me share with you. The holiday grew out, believe it or not, of the Civil War. As Americans, Northern and Southern, black and white, struggled to honor the staggering number of dead soldiers, and there were many. At least 2% of the U.S. population at that time, think about that, 2% of our nation who were caught up in a war in which they lost their lives. And so every year on the last Monday in May, we remember the brave men and women of the United States Force who gave their lives in service to our country. For military families who've lost a loved one, or for others who highly value the true meaning of Memorial Day, it can be more sobering. Tears have been shed. You know, I hope that today and tomorrow you might even consider going to the grave of a friend who had given so much. Several years ago, Audrey and I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and to witness at Arlington the young men, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and the many, many monuments that were given as memorials to those who died in war. Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends." And that is exactly what Christ did. He said, peradventure, that one would lay down his life for his enemies. And that is precisely what Christ did. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But don't let it just be another day or another long weekend. Surely it must mean more to us than that. But secondly, Memorial Day is a simple day with simple beginnings. It is. On June the 3rd in 1861 in Warrenton, Virginia, it was the location, actually, of the first Civil War's soldier's grave to be decorated. And in 1862, women in Savannah, Georgia, decorated the Confederate soldiers' graves. And in 1863, the dedication at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, was a ceremony of commemoration at the graves of dead soldiers. Some claim, therefore, that perhaps President Abraham Lincoln was the founder of Memorial Day. And that is to be debated. And commemorations of the fallen became more widespread following his own assassination. And the day actually became an official holiday just a few years ago, about 50 years ago, in 1971. And from that moment, even until now, we have been at the graveside of those who gave their lives, whose coffin and sarcophagus was covered with the great American flag of the United States of America. You see, Memorial Day is a day for us to remember all who gave. Isn't it a tragedy sometimes that we push it to the side as if it is just another day? But today, the national observance of Memorial Day will take place in Arlington, Virginia. The President and the Vice President of the United States will place a wreath and flowers at the tomb of the unknown soldier. At the tomb of a man whose mother never knew what happened to him when he went off to war. He never came home. And the graves at national cemeteries throughout our country will be decorated with flags and memorials. How much do we love America? Do you really memorialize her? Are you really thankful for the great land in which we live? I hope that we are. Well, you see, the way that we celebrate Memorial Day continues to evolve. In the year 2000, the National Moment of Remembrance Act was signed into law. And that is, the government has asked us tomorrow, which is really the official Memorial Day, for us to pause at 3 p.m. and think about those who have died and have given their lives. And to do that for a minute, that's not asking very much, folks. It ought to be much, much more than that. But we do that in silence and in honor of those who have gone before, of those men who pledged their allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. But I will tell you another thing about Memorial Day. It's about educating the next generation. You know, we are so blessed that we're not in war today. And I thank God for President Trump. And I thank God that he is trying to bring America back to the great God that we all serve. And I believe that the future is bright for this country and for the people who reside therein. But what about the next generation? What will we do? Do we let public school teach our kids about God? Do we do it down at the church house anymore? No, sometimes it's become an endurance contest, whether you're talking about the church or whether you're talking about the classrooms of America. But we need to be teaching our young people about those who gave so much. This is what America will be in a few years from now. These children that are growing up will become the leaders of our great nation, and for that we ought to be thankful and to make sure that we have done our best to teach them not only about America, but to teach them about our God. The Bible says that after the death of Joshua, there arose a generation that knew not God. I hope that that will not be said of our nation. Let's teach our children. You know, when Moses was getting ready to give the law of God, he actually reminded parents to rear their children. He said, when you lie down with them at night, tell them about God. And when you walk with them in the way, tell them about Jehovah. And let the word of God be as frontless before their very eyes, that they may know the will and the God who loves them. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Let us teach our children about our great heritage. You see, teaching younger generations about the significance of Memorial Day is vital. We must engage our young people in discussions about America. Sometimes we never talk about it. All they ever hear about is on the news, and I don't know a whole lot of young people that watch the evening or the morning news, do you? A lot of what they hear and a lot of what they see is on social media as they sit there and flick it back and forth. And they never really get anything but the fake news. I thank God for this great country. But if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. You cannot sit idly by and let them stay without teaching them about Christ. We must make every effort to tell them about our great country in which we live. You see, folks, you and I are here today because we live in a land that is free. You and I are here today because we live in a nation that exalts freedom. And I'm thankful that our leaders do. And as I said, I've seen so many great things happen over the last 3 months. It's just amazing and astounding what is happening. And we're going to see more, I can assure you of that. But we teach them about the cross and about how Jesus did die and how he gave his life a ransom for many, the Bible says. And so that's why Memorial Day is not just a day that we gather to pay tribute to our war dead, but it is a time also for us to remember our Savior who died upon the cross. And too often we forget. We must remember those who have gone before us. And thank God it wasn't you. But thank Him that these wonderful men lived. I grew up during the days of the Vietnam War. It was a terrible, terrible time. We had the draft in America at that time, and young men were being drafted into service. I couldn't go. I couldn't go and serve my country. My brother was in the hospital with open heart surgery at 16 years of age. My father had a heart attack and was in the hospital in Longview. There was no way I could leave them. And the government understood that in giving me a deferment. But it's a horrible thing to think about so many who were drafted and friends of mine that went off to war who never came back. We grieved with such families over their loss. Now, I mentioned to you this morning that November the 11th actually is Armistice Day. It's a day that we pay tribute to so many of our veterans, and we have a number of veterans in our congregation today. But, you know, I would hope and pray that all of us would be so thankful of those who did survive, but who fought valiantly for the great freedom that we enjoy in this country. So today would be a good time, would it not, to thank a veteran and to salute him for what they have done? The Bible again says that we're to give honor to whom honor is due. Notice, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, that is respect. And if you want to thank a soldier, be the kind of America worth fighting for. And never forget, for our debt to the heroic men and women, the valiant women as well, in the service of our country can never, ever be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. And America will never forget their sacrifices. Those were the words of former President Harry Truman. And that's so true, isn't it? And you know, Jesus said, "I will never forget your sacrifice." and we must never forget His. Someone wrote that Monday, tomorrow, will be the most expensive holiday on the calendar this year. For every hot dog and every burger and every spin around the lake, or lunch with friends and family is a debt purchased by other people. This is not about all who served. That day comes in the fall, as I mentioned. This one is to honor those who paid in life and blood where moms never saw them again, and whose dads wept in private, whose wives raised children alone, and whose children only remember them from pictures. This isn't simply a day, folks. This is the day to remember that others paid for every free breath you ever get to take in this great country. And I hope that we shall never, ever forget. And the great spiritual air that we breathe comes from the sacrifice of one named Jesus. He gave His life on the cross and shed His blood that we might have the hope of heaven. And the way that we honor God is by obeying Jesus, is by obeying Him. You remember the story of David and Goliath, and how the Bible tells us that this great Philistine giant had targeted the children of Israel for a long, long time, and had taunted them day and night that he was going to slaughter them and take them out. And not only was it him, but he had four other brothers as well. That's why David picked up as many stones as he did from the babbling brook. David realized what was going on with God's people. And David's brother Eliab actually had fought against the giant, but could not do anything. David went down to join them. And when he got there, in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible said David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking with the soldiers and became angry. And Eliab said unto David, "Why did you come here? Who did you leave the sheep with in the desert? I know why you came down here," he said. "You didn't want to do what you were told to do, but you wanted to come down here to watch the battle." And David said, "What did I do now? I didn't do anything wrong. I was only saying and asking, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" He turned to some of the others and asked them the same question, and they gave him the same answer as before. Brethren, I tell you today, and I ask you, is there not a cause? There is a cause when I think about this great country, and there is a cause when I think about the wonderful church that Jesus came into the world to establish. Yes, there is a cause. That's the answer to that question. There is a cause to fight for God and country. Ungodliness is all around us, and we've almost grown to where we accept all of it. All of the immoral and the ungodliness that is going on in our world. Well, I'm thankful for spiritual leaders, and I'm also thankful for our national leaders who don't endorse that. It's not the new normal. But is there not a cause to speak up for what is right? And the change must begin within us. Is there not a cause in our world? The cause of Jesus. He came to save you and He came to save me. And he asks that we follow him. Just as there is a cause in America for which we fight. And the cause for which we are willing to give our lives spiritually. And Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. And he will come to them and make his home with them. Isn't that what you want this morning? Jesus to make his home in your life. It's what I want. By surrendering unto him your life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. And maybe this morning you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not. I don't know why you're not. I don't know why you wouldn't be a child of God. I would hope this morning that you would acknowledge your belief in God if you do and confess the sweet name of Jesus and be immersed in water baptism as Christ taught. And I hope you hear the sweet voice of Jesus this morning and take that step that we're going to sing about right now. Let us stand and let us sing.